Ball suckers! This is Mika from Impel Nasari. And when in Canada, I only listen to CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax!
I'm here behind Hell's Kitchen at the Impale Nazrin show. I'm joined with
Mika
of Impale Nazrin. Thanks for taking time to do this before your show.
No problem.
So you said you guys arrived yesterday and played in Moncton. So that was like your first show of this tour?
That's correct.
So would that be your first North American show?
Yeah, this tour. We have played in Canada before in 1998, headlining Montreal and all that. And that's the only time we have been in Canada before.
Wow!
So that's 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are doing this kind of like 9 dates, and that's really exciting because we have been playing so much in Europe. And I mean, it's nice to play in Europe, but you are playing the same fucking Germany, Holland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always the same clubs and stuff, so I'm really happy to be out of Europe.
Yeah. So so you said the last time you played here was 10 years ago. You notice any big differences in the scene since then, between 98 and 2008?
It's really hard to say, you know, because kind of like, well, tomorrow will be the Montreal show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think then we will see that if there's some difference or not. I mean, I could see, for example, yesterday that yes, there's lots of like new kids.
Oh yeah.
That were probably not even born men when we played the first time here. So mm-hmm. That's a fucking great thing, because when you have a long career like we have, you know, we have been going 17 years.
Wow.
One of the most important things is also to gain new fans when you release new records, because if you would be relying on your old fan base, you know, they get married, yeah, they will have children, blah blah, they grow out of metal or whatever bullshit reasons they have, and they will stop coming to shows and stuff, and that's why you need the new generation.
Yeah, I never understood that growing out of metal thing. Don't know what that means, but it's good. So I guess since it's your first time here, you should give the fans a little history of the band, like when you guys start. And I was also wondering, 17 years, how many former members does your band have?
Well, we started in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a band called Mutilation, which started in 1988. But then the Mutilation split up and we started a new band immediately, and there was like other bands popping up around the world with the name Mutilation. That's what we decided, that okay, we'll change the band name and start writing completely new shit. And well, I mean, we have released 10 studio albums, 4 7 inch EPs, one mini CD, we have done one live album. We have played so far in 34 or 35 different countries in 4 different continents.
Wow.
And we are, for example, we are the first Finnish metal band ever to go to Australia and New Zealand, and
mm-hmm.
we have been doing kind of like lots of groundbreaking work for a Finnish metal. But do you think we get some kind of recognition in Finland for this? Absolutely not. It's like, it's so stupid. I mean, I'm sidetracking here, I know, but I have to tell you this, that there was a Children of Bodom went to play in like a couple of years ago to New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and it was like huge headlines in everywhere. A Finnish metal band plays in New Zealand,
but
finally.
But you were already there?
And we were like scratching our head like, well, we were there in 1999.
mm-hmm. Yeah, but no one was doing it.
No one's doing it then. So, yeah. There's been lineup changes. I mean, I'm the only original member of the 1990 lineup, but then our guitar player Jarno, he has been on every album. The only thing he didn't do was the first 7-inch, but he has played on every album. Our drummer has been with us since 1995, so that's already for 13 years. And the bass player has already been 8 years, and the new lead guitarist been 2 years, and well, he had been a session member, like filling in for the guitar players already from the 2000s. So this is kind of like the core crew that has been going for a very long time. And some of the lineup changes has been like, you know, one guy died.
Yeah.
And you know, shit like this happened. We had the Alexi Laiho from Children of Bodom playing with us. But he was also playing at Synergy at the same time, and also in Children of Bodom. And us, so he had 3 touring bands. And we were always the last one he could do. So we just said at one point, like, this is complete bullshit, that we will find another guitar player. But I'm still fucking happy that he was in the band.
No,
he's a really cool guy, he's a fantastic guitar player.
He wrote
great songs for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have huge respect for him, and it's amazing to see, you know, because we knew Bodom when they were just starting.
Yeah, he was young.
And I look at them now and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, they're going huge.
What happened? And at the same time, I'm thinking, why didn't it happen to us?
Did you guys record anything when he was in the band?
Yeah, well, he plays on the Nihil album,
which
we did in 1999.
Mm-hmm. Good. And, where's I going to ask? Yeah, so what was the Finnish scene before you guys started?
Before?
Yeah, were you guys the first Finnish metal band?
No, it was like mid-80s there started to be like more serious bands that actually started recording, and it was this very primitive speed metal, you know, everybody was just copying Metallica or this. Well, basically everybody was copying Metallica. I mean, there wasn't really any bands in Finland that could play like Slayer did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in everywhere else in Europe there was like Slayer copies and stuff, but Finland was like this pathetic scene of really bad Metallica copies. Yeah. But then it started with, it was like 88, 89, 90 when there's the more death metal and black metal started happening. And I think we realized from the very beginning that what we have to do is not to start looking for a Finnish label, not to play concerts in Finland, but let's just straightforward to abroad. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are one of the first bands that got signed to a foreign label.
Oh, yeah.
It's Osmos from France, and we have been with them since the beginning. And we have an absolutely fantastic relationship with the record label, because how many bands do you know that have been sticking with the same record label
long? It's a rarity, yeah.
And the thing with Osmos and us is that, you know, we at this point of our career, it's not like we are business partners, we are friends. We just phone to each other. It's not like how many records we have been selling. It's like how your kids are doing.
Oh yeah, so you both started together. And it says on your bio that you signed your contract in blood.
This is correct.
Do they do that for everybody? Or
no, I don't know. But at least we did it.
So you really can't break that. Like
it was. But you know, we always sign only for two albums, mm-hmm. and absolutely no options, because I think that. That's the great scheme of the record labels, that they can keep the bands forever.
Yeah.
Because they have the option, you know, that they can release it or not to release it. So we said it from the beginning that we will always sign for two albums, no options.
Oh, okay.
And Osmos, I know that the other bands that have been signing to Osmos, they have changed their contracts. They have also this option thing nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
But when we sign again, they know it, that we will not sign it if there's this fucking option.
So do you renew your contract every...
Basically, after every two
albums. That's great.
So we have signed a contract now like 5 times so far.
Yeah, and that way it's...
But only the first one with the blood. But I think that was the most important one.
Oh, yeah. What album was that for?
The Tolkor, Notch, 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 and the Ukra Karma, those were the two first ones.
So, kind of off my sheet here. Yeah, it says in your bio that you guys are frequently sabotaged by communists. What is up with that?
That was when our third album in 1995, the Suomi Finland Perkele, came out. We had... there was like a French youth communist party.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like the lyrics of the song of the Total War, Winter War, and they complained. There's like a, you know, like a Virgin Megastores. There's a, in France and in some other European countries, there's a chain store called Fnac, which is selling music and videos and blah, blah, blah. And they complained to Fnac and said like, okay, you are selling this Nazi crap. You have to take out the albums. And the Fnac did it without asking Osmos any questions, without asking us any questions. Nobody wanted to hear our side of the story. But whoever decided to take the CDs out, they really fucked up, because they took accidentally the Ukra Karma albums out that had already been out, you know, like 14 months. So I think that pissed off the youth communist party even more. And we did a couple of shows in 1996 in France, one in Paris and one in Lille. And the Paris show was organized at the University of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And when one of our support bands was playing, somebody broke into the electricity board and just broke everything there was. And so the whole show was like postponed like 1 hour or something, and everybody was sitting in the dark, and we were just in the backstage with our flashlights, like, what the fuck is going on? And then we went on stage, played a normal set, everything was fine, and only 1 week later we heard that it was a sabotage.
Oh, okay, and they explained what it was. That's weird. So it was like, so they had problems with the...
They had problems with one single song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is some European countries are really like you know, they see Nazis everywhere.
Oh, okay.
And it's like this, it's very popular nowadays, you know, that you bring this Nazi card. You can blame any from anything that, yeah, you are Nazi and you are Nazi, and it's this name calling. And but especially in Germany, it's like it remains a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had huge problems in Germany with the Antifa, which is the, you know, the anti-fascistic organization. They have managed to prevent us playing in lots of places.
Wow. So they have problems with like your lyrics or imagery? Or
yeah, it's like we have this song on the Nihil album called Zero Tolerance. And they didn't like the lyrics and they made a fucking huge complaints to the local politicians and, you know, in there's really far left shit in Germany who has power, and it's like so long story, and I really rather forget all of that crap because it's starting to like change again that we have been able to play in Germany again. And we will be, for example, after this tour, we will stay a couple of days home, and then we are going to Partisan Festival in Germany, and we are playing in many states.
Wow, yeah.
And they, I know that they, the Antifa tried to block us there, because we got lots of like death threats and like, you know, threatening letters, emails, like, we will fucking kill you if you come to Partisan. And,
do you want?
the you know, the shit thing is that there are real Nazi bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like, and there's lots of open Nazi bands. So why the fuck the these people then don't fight against this?
Yeah, yeah.
But they are not fighting. It's like very popular in Germany that, you know, there's this Viking metal or whatever they call it. And or the pagan metal. And it's like they have now decided, like the far left has decided that, oh, these guys are the real Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And they are attacking metal bands a lot in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, the real Nazis aren't listening metal. It's not their music. You don't see Nazis Sieg Heiling in gigs, at metal gigs in
That's
Europe.
That's right, yeah.
They go to different concerts, so... But for some reason, I don't know, are they afraid of the real Nazis or whatever, so that they have to attack, like, metal bands and stuff. It's so bullshit.
It's really silly. So you guys have a lot of problems like that? People with, like, problems with people having misconceptions about your bands? I heard, like, you were banned to play somewhere because it was rumors that you had a black mass on stage and you're Satanist and... Like, you always have, like, misconceptions of your band like
yeah,
that.
Well, it's true. That's actually somebody said to me that I should write a book about all the fucking crap that we have faced. Because it's like a never-ending story.
Yeah.
It's like there's always something. And it's unbelievable. I mean, well, you know Mayhem, of course.
Yeah.
From Norway. We had been booked to play one Friends festival. And it was Easter time. And, the local politicians, who in this case were far-right people, they saw our band name and they said, like, okay, this this Impale Nazarene cannot perform in our town because it's Easter and our local government is giving money to the gig place so that they can do the show. So they threw us away from the bill, but let the Mayhem play on the same festival.
Yeah.
Mayhem, who have been in jail,
mm-hmm.
who have been doing this and that and are like well-known blah blah blah. And we were like, uh-huh, so we are even more dangerous than Mayhem.
More dangerous than Mayhem.
This is really interesting.
You put that on a shirt. Pale Nazarene, more dangerous than Mayhem. More evil than Mayhem. I believe that takes us to the end of our sheet. I was going to ask you, I already asked you this many times before. This is good. You can probably talk for hours on this. What's the biggest change you saw in the scene since you started? But there's tons.
Well,
there's...
I think it's every band that started around the same time as like we did is like, you know, the downloading, the whole thing that changed from the CDs to MP3. You know, it's like so amazing change that and there's nothing you can do about it.
You think downloading helped or hurt the scene?
Well, it definitely hurts a small bands like us. I mean, because our sales have never been that fantastic. And now you can see it. It's like, especially it's what's really fucking irritating is that when the promo CDs come out, you know, the promos that are supposed for the radio stations and magazines, one day after the promos were posted, it was already on the one Spanish portal, the new album on a zip form, including the cover, and it had been downloaded 768 times in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And the CD was coming out the CD was coming out in 1 month.
That's a month later, yeah.
And we were like,
Like,
okay, this is really nice. So, if that's some kind of indication, like how much it actually gets downloaded, I don't know.
No, for sure. It's always a problem, because everyone has it.
And what people don't realize, and this is just a sad fact, that when the sales go down for a band like us, it's going to affect our studio budgets, and it's going to affect everything, so it's really like, I mean, I understand it. On the other hand, of course.
Yeah.
Of course you download it. It's fucking free. Why pay any money for it? But then again, personally, because I grew up with vinyls, and I always still buy vinyl if it's possible.
Oh, yeah,
I want to have something concrete in my hand, and I want to look at the cover, I want to have the lyrics, you know, and try to figure out what the band is about. But it seems like this nowadays, it's like you download it and you listen to it and you don't give a shit about lyrics or whatever. It's just like some kind of lounge music. And I mean, that's the biggest change in the scene. And then of course, you know, when we started, there was death metal was huge, then it started come to black metal, then there was coming retro thrash, then there was, now there's this reunion boom. Every motherfucking band has been reunited again, and are doing albums that you are listening and thinking like, maybe you should have just stayed dead.
But some bands, they get back and put an amazing album.
Well, I mean, Exodus is one prime example.
But then
Exodus.
There's not that many that come back. A Testament.
Well,
they didn't really split up.
Yeah, they didn't split up.
The New Testament's amazing. So what do you think is next? Or what's left for Impale Nazarene to achieve?
Oh, I mean, there's still lots of things that I personally want to do. It's like, we have never toured South America. I mean, we have done 3 Mexican tours, but that's not really South America. Okay. So, and I know that we will be there one day. And I definitely want to return to Japan and Australia, New Zealand. These were amazing places. And then, of course, there's USA, but after 9/11, you know, work visas and all that crap that you need to do there. And the mentality of the promoters is like, we get offered tours every second week, but it's like you have to pay everything. And I'm sorry, at this point of the career, I'm not going to start paying money to so that I can play. Sorry, it's the other way around. And it's always been, we have never paid to play, and we will never do that. And then of course, I mean, we will do more albums. One day we will do DVD. But I don't want to do the DVD either, like just quickly put it together.
Okay, make sure it's right.
When we do it, it has to be something special, and I need to have a good budget for it. Because I have seen these lousy concert DVDs. You know, you take the sound directly from the soundboard and it sounds like complete crap. And it looks like shit. So, I mean, if you do a live DVD, you need to show the band at its best. That's at least my opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, it's these kind of little things, nothing like spectacular, that we want to do, except of course full world domination.
Of course. That's what everyone's doing. So thank you for taking time to do this.
No, well, thank you.
Do you have an Impale Nazarene song you want me to send out to people for Halifax? If you can pick one song that that defines the band,
well, unfortunately, we don't have a song called "Fuck Off," so that would be the best one. But
I'll just tell everyone that you said "Fuck Off." Now,